So this morning, the sermon is titled Trusting in God. And I'm going to use again a story that most have probably heard at some point or another as the starting point for this, and that is the story of David and Goliath. So the trusting in God, the title of the sermon, is going to be about how we deal with troubles in life. And so what I would like to suggest is that when we look at the story of David and Goliath, there were two different examples of how people dealt with a problem. King Saul had a problem. His problem was, what do I do about Goliath? So the Israelites had found themselves in battle against the Philistines. They're on either sides of a valley. And suddenly, this big, massive, huge man walks to the middle of the valley and says, send over whoever it is and let us fight. We'll fight for the honor of our countries. Well, this man was so huge that Saul and all of his warriors were panicked. Okay? They didn't know what to do. 1 Samuel 17, verse 11 said, when Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and they were greatly afraid. They had a problem. They had a problem and they didn't know how they were going to solve it. You ever have that? You ever have a problem that comes up and seems like a big problem, but you don't know what to do about it? Well, then, kind of add insult to injury, this happens 40 days in a row. 1 Samuel 17:6, and the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. So the morning and night, for 40 days, he stood up and he challenged them, reminding them of the problem they have. Isn't that true? Some of our problems, they don't just go away overnight, do they? Problems just linger. They just continue to linger with us. All of that fear and dismay didn't make the problem go away. 1 Samuel 17, verse 24. All of the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Didn't get any better. Time didn't make it go away. It didn't get any easier. The problem just didn't go away. So this is the state that Israel is in. King Saul is sitting there with all of his men. They don't know what to do. They're panicked. They're afraid to go deal with Goliath. So they don't know what to do. They got a problem. Well, then David shows up. David is this youngest son of Jesse. His older brothers are all out there. They're part of this army. David shows up and he's like, why isn't somebody doing something about this? And they're like, you don't understand. You don't see the problem. Well, David didn't see a reason to be dismayed or to fear. In 1 Samuel 17 and verse 37, David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. It's interesting that that was the response, because that's exactly what David was planning on doing, having the Lord be with him. David trusted in the Lord. He didn't see a problem. God will take care of this. God's delivered me before. God's taken care of me before. Why will this be any different? So David put his trust in God. 1 Samuel 17, 45 to 46. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a shield, but I come unto thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Notice that? I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. God's going to take care of it. David didn't say, oh, I'm going to fix this. God's going to take care of this. And that's where the title of the lesson comes from, trusting in God. Too often, we are like King Saul and all the armies of Israel. We sit there trying to figure out how we are going to fix the problem. And a lot of times, fixing those problems is outside of our ability. David didn't look at it as being his problem to solve. God's going to take care of it. I just got to put my trust in him. So I want to talk a little bit about dealing with problems. One of the things that we need to do when dealing with our problems is to recognize that trials are a part of life. You know, we shouldn't be surprised when they appear. If you turn over to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4 and verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to come, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. We're told, hey, don't be surprised by the fact that there are going to be difficulties in life. It's going to happen. Too often when a problem arises, we act surprised. We act like, well, how could that possibly have happened? How could that possibly have occurred? We should be expecting them. We've been warned. They're going to come. There are going to be trials. Quite honestly, Jesus experienced trials. Why do we think we're any different? If you go to Luke chapter 22 and verse 28, he says, "But you are those who have continued with me in my trials." Jesus dealt with difficulties his entire life. What makes us think we're better than him? Why shouldn't we expect to deal with trials? He did. And he showed how to deal with them. If you think about the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus has got a problem. I'm going to be put to death. What does he do? He turns to God. Prays that if it be God's will, let this cup pass from me. But if not, thy will be done. That's where he took his comfort. God was going to take care of things. He put it in God's hands. He trusted in God. Didn't mean he didn't have trials, but he knew how to deal with them. And we can learn from that. We need to learn to turn to God when trials beset us. Isaiah chapter 41 gives us a good example of this. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Too often when we find ourselves dealing with problems, we forget God's there for us. We forget about God. And God has told us, Isaiah points us out, I am with thee. I'll strengthen you. I will take care of you. Does that mean the problems all go away? No. Didn't say that. Did the problems of Jesus just go away? No, they didn't go away. But God helped him to get through. God helped him to deal with them. So we need to recognize that God has promised to help us. Going back one chapter to Isaiah chapter 40, beginning in verse 29. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. God will help us to deal with those problems. He will strengthen us. He will encourage us. He will help us through. Will he make them go away? No. Never said that. But he said he'd be there to strengthen us and to help us to work our way through those things. We need to remember that he won't forget us. You know, it's kind of sad that sometimes when we have problems, we forget God, but he doesn't forget us. He tells us in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. God is going to be with us. He doesn't forget us. we just got to remember not to forget him. We need to put our trust in God. Turn over, if you would, to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Don't be worried about anything, but in everything by prayer. When problems come, is the first thing we do turn to God in prayer? Or do we go Google it and see if there's an answer on Google that gives us the right, this will tell me what to do. Google's always right, right? Google will have the answer. Or do we go find somebody? We go to that person that we turn to, hey, what should I do? Philippians is reminding us, when we have a problem, don't worry about it. Pray to God about it. We have got a gift in prayer that we do not take advantage of as we should. When Jesus was worried about what was going to befall him, what did he do? He went to the garden to do what? To pray. To pray. He turned to God. That needs to be our first response. When problems arise, turn to God. Pray. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 tells us, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We've got to have such trust that we just put it in God's hands. Jesus, if it be thy will, let this pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done. We put it out there. God, I'd prefer it to go this way, but thy will be done. And he left it in God's hands. How often do we do that? How often do we just put it in God's hands? Recognizing that it's going to be what it's going to be and accept that. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. There's where the first problem for most of us comes into being. We trust that we can fix the problem. You know, we like to fix problems. That's what we do. Problem comes, we try to solve it, right? But when certain things happen, we need to remember, trust in God. Don't focus on our own understanding. Focus on God. This is where Lot failed. So if you think about the story of Lot, we are told why Lot was put under such trials and tribulations. Lot wasn't told that. He just was living with them. He lost his belongings. He lost his family. He lost his health. He didn't know why. Now, he was faithful. He never turned against God. But he wanted to talk to God about why what was happening wasn't exactly fair. That he didn't really deserve what happened. Well, God eventually tells Lot, yeah, maybe you didn't deserve it, but you don't understand why it happened, and you're never going to understand those things because you're not me. Well, we need to not try to think that we can tell God what kind of problems we should have and how they should get solved. We've got to trust that God knows more than we know. Lot made a big mistake there, and in the end, he got chastised for that. He got recompensed for the fact that he remained faithful, but he got chastised because he questioned if God knew what he was doing. Well, do we trust God, or do we question? Why does he let this happen? Why did he do this? Why do these things happen to good people and not to bad people? How come they got this and I didn't? We question a lot, don't we? Exactly what Lot did. And just remember God's response. When you know as much as I do, then you can question me. Otherwise, you just need to deal with it. That's kind of what we've got to learn to live with in our problems. We need to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and not try to rely on our own understanding. We need to look at troubles differently. We look at trials as being something we want to avoid. None of us likes anything that isn't pleasant. That's just how we're made, right? We prefer the easy way. We prefer the least controversy. We prefer the least amount of effort to have to put into something. We like things that are pleasant. It's who we are. But you know what? In reality, if we only experience good things, we wouldn't be better for it. Because it's been pointed out, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. If you want to turn there, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. We are told to rejoice when we face trials. Why is that? Because the trials help us to become stronger. The trials help us to become better. Paul uses an example of exercise. There are very few people in the world who really, really love to exercise. Very few people who really like to enjoy that feeling of aching muscles, of having worked so hard that you're not sure that you're going to be able to stand up the next day. Of working so hard that you can't catch your breath. A lot of people think, yeah, that's not really a good thing. But that's what they call exercise. You know, and they keep telling us it's good for us. Aerobic exercise keeps our heart healthy. Makes us sweat and pant and hurt. Okay? But you got to have the one to get the other. Well, that's what they're trying to tell us here. Trials can strengthen us. They hurt. They're painful. They're not fun. But after we've gone through them, after we have successfully navigated around them, we're stronger because of that. We've learned something if we've paid attention. So instead of always looking at troubles as something I want to try to avoid, when we're faced with them, we need to think about, what can I learn from this? How can I come out of this better than I was when it started? The other thing the trials can do is remind us to put our trust in God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. For to this end also did I write you, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. I'm sorry, that was supposed to be 2 Corinthians 12:9. I can't read my own writing. 12:9. I didn't think that sounded right. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. This is Paul, who's got some sort of a thorn in the flesh. And he prays to God about making that thorn in the flesh go away. And the response is, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glorify my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Strength is made perfect in weakness. What was being told to him was, if you think you've got it all under control, you forget about me. When you start to have problems is when you recognize you can't do it on your own. You need God. You need me. He's saying to Paul, you need me. It's a reminder. Trials are a reminder that it's not in our ability to handle everything. We've got to put some trust in God. We talked this morning about the story of Jonah, about the fact that Jonah, there was about mercy. Mercy because we have all sinned and fallen short. We can't save ourselves. We need God's mercy. We need to remember that. One of the things that happens too often with religious people is they start to think that their own actions are what's going to save them. I do this, I do this, I show up at this time, I'm faithful about this, I'm good to go. No. You didn't earn it. There are things we have to do to be able to participate in the mercy of God, the grace of God, but we don't earn it. It's not us. We've got to remember that we need God. We need His mercy. We need His grace. And trials and tribulations are ways of reminding us of that. We are not in control. We are not the ones that are running the show. Problems also remind us to remember the gift that awaits. We as a nation have become very, very focused on short term. We want answers yesterday. We get online and Amazon and we almost expect that when I hit the button, the doorbell's gonna ring because they've already delivered it, right? I was having a discussion, my trip, with a young guy that I was traveling with, and I said, you know, the Sears catalog used to be the Amazon of the world. You could go in there and you could order just about anything, but it didn't show up the next day. It took it a while. But you know what? I can remember as a kid how excited you got waiting for it. Because you kept thinking about what was going to come. You kept thinking about how great it was going to be when it got there. It's cool. Now, we don't have that because it just, bang, it's there. It shows up. And we want that to happen in everything. Galatians 6 and verse 9 tells us, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Tribulations remind us that there's a reason we're waiting for eternity, that we're waiting and trying to live a life that God wants us to live. We don't want to deal with those infirmities forever. We want to remember that He's given us a hope of a place where those don't exist. So we need to think about that. We need to keep remembering. That's what this is all about. We're working our way towards eternity. That's what trials and tribulations should remind us of. But you know, something we also have to remember is that God is only with us when we obey Him. I talked about this in a short talk, not this Wednesday, but the Wednesday before. But in Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, God provided Adam with everything that was needed. It said, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God provided everything that Adam needed. Life was good. Adam had a good life. And if you went down to verse 15, and the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So Adam had a job. Dress the garden, keep it. And it will provide everything you need. It's going to be pleasant. It's going to be good. You'll have everything you need to eat. Life was good. Okay? Life was good as long as God was helping Adam with that. But then, Adam and Eve sinned. They brought sin into the world. And as Isaiah 59 and verse 2 tells us, your iniquities have separated you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. Adam and Eve were separated from God. They were thrown out of the garden. They were thrown out of the garden. Not only were they thrown out of the garden, but if you go down to Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, you'll remember that Adam is told that life is not going to be so easy now. And unto Adam he said, behold, thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Instead of putting forth effort that always brought forth something fruitful, which is what happened in the garden, now Adam was going to work, and sometimes it was going to be good, and sometimes it wasn't going to be so good. He was going to work, he was going to sweat. And that sweat was sometimes going to bring forth thistles and thorns rather than food that was good to eat. That's what happened when God wasn't with him. When God wasn't taking care of everything for him. Well, that's true of us as well. We can forget that we need God. And without God, we're not going to be successful. Our problems are just going to keep getting worse and worse and worse, because they're pointing to an eternity of eternal damnation. Another great example of that was Samson. We all know the story of Samson, right? As long as Samson listened to God, Samson was exceedingly strong and able to do great things. But then Samson sinned. He fell prey to Delilah. He did the things that God told him not to do. And suddenly, Samson had no strength. Samson couldn't do great things. Samson ended up being a captive of the Philistines. He didn't have God with him. And without God, his paths didn't go well. Things didn't go well for Samson, because God had forsaken him as he had forsaken God. So, when it comes to trials and tribulations, we can help each other. We have things that we can offer. Some of those things are kind words. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Somebody is struggling, sometimes a kind word can make all the difference. But you've got to be paying attention. You've got to know that that kind word is needed. Otherwise, you'll never say it. We can help with burdens. We can help with the troubles that they have. Galatians 6 and verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Help each other out. Recognize when each other is struggling. Be there to do what you can to help. Romans 15, 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Part of this is about recognizing that we're helping as God has helped us. Go back again to the lesson this morning. Jonah was trying to be taught that he needed to show mercy because God had shown him mercy. Jonah was having a hard time to get that lesson. And we need to recognize that when we're helping others, we're doing what God has done for us. We're assisting those who have a need. We can comfort and we can encourage. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you also do. You know what? There's different ways that we can encourage. We can encourage by teaching. We can encourage by those good words. We can encourage by helping with the burden. Lots of ways we can encourage. But we've got to put forth that effort. You've got to be aware of what's going on. We've got to know each other well enough to know there's a struggle going on here, and know well enough how it is that you can try to help. You've got to work at that. But that's a commandment. We're told to do that. And it comes with loving one another. John chapter 15 and verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Christ loved us so much that he gave his own life for us, so that we wouldn't have to suffer the consequences of the lives that we live. That's what we're supposed to be willing to do. And one of the ways we can do that is by providing a good example. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost his savor, wherefore shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Ye are the light of the world. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The passage is talking about letting the world know about God. But it's also a reminder that we need to help each other remember to look for God. Our light shines in all directions. That's the idea. People should see in us an example of what it is we should be seeking to do in our lives. whether we're dealing with troubles or we're those people who have never obeyed the gospel. But in either case, we can provide an example that will help them. So in summary, problems are going to come. They're going to come. We need to just accept that and recognize that. But when they come, we need to turn to God. We need to embrace those problems because we can be strengthened by them and we can be reminded that we need God. And we need to remember that God will only be with us if we are obedient to Him. And then lastly, we need to remember that we have opportunities to help each other. That's the sermon for this morning. And hopefully it will cause each and every one of us to think about, where do we put our trust? Where do we put our trust? I asked Brian to sing song number 653, because if you look at the words there, it tells us that when we're facing these difficulties in life, what do we need to do? Look to Him and pray. Skies above you are gray, you're feeling blue, cares and burdens seem great. Look to Him and pray. That's what this sermon is about. We've all suffered those things. We've all dealt with them. We're going to continue to deal with them. We need to put our trust in God. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you've not been obedient to God. And if you're not obedient to God, He's not there to help you. You need to make that right. If you have obeyed the gospel, but you have sinned, you become separated from God. And you need to make the changes that allows you to have the relationship with God so that He will be there, that He will help you. If either one of those situations fits your, then we'd ask you to come forward and make things right while we stand and sing.